This is Sports Kings After Dark on SB Nation 1560. Presented by End Zone Sports Bar and State Farm Insurance Houston.
The damn Spartan. Oh! There goes the runner. There goes Correa again!
Batted down and intercepted. Intercepted by J.J. Watt. Touchdown, Houston.
Live from the SB Nation 1560 studios, here's Mario, David, Chris, and Mean Gene.
I said the king's in the building. Tell me how you feeling. Yeah, I said the king's in the building.
They gave a trophy, a win, a huge win, to Horn, the local kid, for trying hard. You're not supposed to get it for trying hard. You're supposed to get it for winning. And I thought Pacquiao won the fight. If you go by the real rules, the Marcus of Queensberry rules, who lands the cleaner punches?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Folks, man, I agree with you, Teddy Atlas.
100%.
But as they said in the movie, Mama's wrong again, son. Welcome to the Sports Kings After Dark, folks. You are listening to Mean Gene, Christopher Tamez, Mario Cordova, and David Ramon. We are Sports Kings After Dark. It is Sunday, the second day of July 2017. And guys, hey, right when we left last night, we left this show at midnight.
Uh-huh.
And 1 minute after midnight, that's when all hell broke loose on ESPN. As the fight that you just heard sound bites from the fight. That was Teddy Atlas. He called the fight along with Timothy Bradley in Brisbane, Australia, as one of the biggest upsets so far of the year, maybe of the last couple of years, for the WBO welterweight title. It was Jeff Horn upsetting Manny Pacquiao, and Manny Pacquiao lost his belt last night. Mario, I know you got something to say.
Man, all right, here we go. Let's start this off. To say what Teddy Atlas said is correct, you know. And there's unwritten rules in boxing. When you go fight against the champ, you got to beat the champ. You just can't be like, oh, well, you know, we're going to give him an A for effort, and, you know, we're going to let him win. No. That's it. I can't take this. Like, you know, this was ESPN's time to finally put boxing back on prime time, trying to gain new fans, trying to bring everyone back into the fold, and then you just lay a big old egg like this. Like,
you blaming the network?
I'm just saying, like, I'm not blaming the network. I'm just saying that it's just crazy that this would be the type of fight that it would be, you know, that would be the first fight. It's just the first fight, boom, controversy. And I'm just like, wow.
I think Chris is trying to say something. Chris, are you talking to us?
Okay,
there you go, Chris.
They do this a lot in wrestling, Mario.
I know.
They're trying to get something, and kaboom, they do a swerve like this.
Yes.
I mean, hey.
Yes.
Well, you know, I thought about the same thing because I know ESPN, I mean, hey, this is the dead of summer when as it relates to sports right now.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that's really happening now is NBA free agency and people getting ready for the All-Star game. And, of course, ESPN is getting ready for their ESPYs.
Okay, so that was ESPN, right, that aired the thing?
Yes, it was ESPN that aired the fight.
Okay, right. So, like Gene said, there's not that much stuff going on right now. This was a big swerve, and you know what it got? It got people, like the Tony Atlas or whatever.
It got everybody.
And him and Mario and everybody else in that.
Twitter was blowing up.
They got everyone talking.
Yeah, and rightfully so. And, hey, hoorah for ESPN because they showed the fight.
Yes, they did.
I'm hoping that it wasn't one of their judges that judged the fight
117. 117-111?
Either way, ESPN doesn't lose just because...
That's a big win for them.
It's because Chris is right, because people are talking about it. And ultimately, that's all that counts at the end. If, of course, people are talking about it and all of Twitter, just like I said, it was blowing up. Not one person agreed with that at all.
No, not one. And I talked to some people today. As a matter of fact, you know, hung out at Ronnie Shields' cousin's house today, and I didn't get Ronnie's thoughts on the fight because he got a lot of stuff going on this weekend. But I gotta think that Ronnie would agree that there's no way that fight was called correctly at the end or judged correctly.
You know, it's this is how I see it. You know, I went home, I watched the fight. Okay, and this is how it broke down to me. Manny Pacquiao did look old. Yes, he did.
Oh, yeah.
He looked older. He looked older in the fight. You can see it. Father Time's catching up. But when it comes down to it, Manny outpointed him. At the end of the fight, he threw more punches and he landed more punches. And
that's how fights are judged. And normally no one disagrees when you see what was thrown, what was landed.
Correct.
And we saw it. But now, here's the thing, though. I mean, this is some of the mistakes you make and as a champion. Now, you know, what Houston and the rest of everyone listening to this show out there on SBNation1560.com did not hear when Micah Buffer got up there on stage, guys.
Mm-hmm.
What did I say?
You were like, and the new, and I'm like, no way.
Yeah. I mean, what, you know, I told you guys, I said, hey, this is what's going to happen. I saw it coming, okay? And I know we're going to get back to this boxing match because I just think there's a whole lot to talk about it. I told you guys last night.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to shift gears real quick here. Man, we just came into this show kind of hot and heavy, right? We're going to shift gears a little bit. I told you last night we would bring on an NFL great. And I'm not saying that because, you know, I'm the ultimate Steelers fan here amongst all of us. But
bias much?
No, there's no bias here. But we are more than happy to have a former NFL great played with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Can I back it up and say he went to Clemson University?
Yeah, Clemson University.
Should we give him credit for Clemson University?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely now.
And I tell you, one of the most dominant linebackers that ever played with the Pittsburgh Steelers. How many Pro Bowls did he go to? Several Pro Bowls. I know he played in Super Bowl 30.
Have seasons where he had over 100 tackles.
Let me just hurry up and get him on because I'm so anxious to talk to him and happy he's on. Please welcome to the show former Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker, LaVon Kirtland. LaVon, welcome to the show.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me. How you guys doing today?
We are doing great. We are honored here. Now, I know this is radio. You can't see us, but we're all standing up and bowing down right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we are.
You can always take a picture.
That's true.
man, this is great to have you on. I know you probably heard a little bit. We're still trying to get rid of this fight. Did you watch this fight last night, LaVon?
Did I do what?
Did you watch the fight, the Pacquiao-Horn fight
last night? Yes, I watched the fight last night, yeah.
So,
you know what? I turned it off because I thought Pacquiao won the fight.
Thank you.
But I heard later that he didn't win the fight. Is that true?
Yes,
that is true.
That is true.
It is true. You know, ESPN is going to show this fight over and over again, LaVon, so you will definitely get a chance to see this fight again. But we have you on here, LaVon, because we got to talk a little bit about football. This is the time of the year, and I know you've been there. You've been there many a times where it's July and players are getting ready to get into camp, you know, the rookies and the veterans. What is happening? What are the steps and things that people are getting ready for now as they get ready to get into the football camps?
Well, I think they're going to try to – I can only speak for what I did, but most guys are going to try to enjoy, you know, the 4th of July. And then, you know, but also maintain, you know, make sure that they're, you know, working out. Maybe not as hardcore, but definitely trying to maintain their conditioning. So, you know, this is a time to kind of relax and chill out because when July 26th or July 20th or whenever guys report, you know, it's on. You know, it's on until, you know, it's over. So guys are trying to relax. They're trying to get their thoughts together, enjoy their family, and get ready for the upcoming season.
Okay. Now, and what are you doing actually at this point in time? Because you're actually getting ready to bring in players as well, right?
Well, you know, actually, I was with the Arizona Cardinals for the last 2 years on a fellowship. Mm-hmm. This year, I'll be with Cincinnati for their training camp.
Ooh.
So that's what I'll be doing. So, similar to what I've been doing for the last several years is working with players, working with the coaches with the Cincinnati Bengals, trying to get guys better, you know, trying to get corners here and there and, you know, try to teach them and show them some love.
So, folks, once again, we are talking to former Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker, played 7 seasons with the Steelers, Pro Bowl 1997, and had a stellar performance in Super Bowl 30 versus those Dallas Cowboys. LaVon, I tell you what now. I hear you said you're in Cincinnati. Were there not any openings in Pittsburgh for you?
Well, you know that is usually the – GM decision and the head coaching decision. You know, being on that level, it's a lot of networking. So, you know, what you want to do is try to get in, try to fit in, and, you know, continue to develop your skills. That's about all you can do, really.
Well,
and hopefully someone will like those skills and invite you to join their staff. But, you know, coaching is always changing. It really is. New coaches every year.
Well, you know, I'm just giving you a hard time, okay? Because I every time I close my eyes, I still see 99, man. I'm sorry.
Oh, do you?
I'm sorry, but I tell you what, it's just good to see that you're doing something that you did so well, and now you have the opportunity to get other people to make them good. That's got to be great.
Yeah, you know, I think you always have to pass it on. You know, I was blessed to have a really good career doing what I love doing. And they always say you have to, you know, if you do what you love, it's never work. So
amen.
I think my work will always be in football in some kind of capacity, whether it's coaching, whether it's developing young players or mentoring young players. I would probably always be involved in football in some kind of capacity. So, yeah, it's really cool. But it's so funny because most guys don't really know you off of that. Then they go Google you or you're introduced to them, and then it was like they come back to you like, man, Kirk, you can really put it down or you're a good player. So it's always fun to kind of watch that happen.
I'll tell you what, LeVon, I tell you what, we're going to go to a break. We just want to carry you through the break here for about a minute. And we want to bring you back on for the next segment. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
All right. So, hey, folks, we are talking with LeVon Kirkland. He's now coaching the linebackers out there at Cincinnati Bengals. But you remember him as the linebacker that made life miserable for the AFC North as part of that Pittsburgh Steelers defense. We'll be right back after the break.
This is Sports Kings After Dark on SB Nation 1560.
And on SBNation1560.com.
Presented by End Zone Sports Bar. Live from the SB Nation 1560 studios, here's Mario, David, Chris, and Mean Gene.
All right, folks, once again, we are back, Sports Kings After Dark. First hour on a Sunday night. We are getting it done here. We are on the telephones with LeVon Kirkland, a former outstanding linebacker with the Pittsburgh Steelers from 1992 to 2000. He's currently the outside linebackers coach for the Cincinnati Bengals. And, LeVon, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm right here.
All right. So I know my crew here, they're sitting here and all just to have you here on the phone. So, guys, don't be shy. LeVon's not going to come through the phone and tackle you, okay? I promise.
No. You know, I'm one of the most approachable people in the world. I don't look approachable, but I'm pretty approachable.
Mario?
All right. I have a question for you, sir. My name is Mario, big Giants fan here. But okay. I just want to know how it was sacking Troy Aikman. Please explain this to me in detail, how great that must have felt.
You know, we didn't really play him a whole lot. Played him a couple times, but, hey, it was great, man. You know, when we played in the Super Bowl, I did get a sack on him.
Mm-hmm.
But Emmitt Smith kind of cut me a little bit, so I kind of jumped over Emmitt. And barely, I brushed Troy Aikman. I always said if I didn't get, if Emmitt didn't come at that time, I would have put Troy Aikman in the hospital.
I was
coming full speed ahead, and I barely brushed him, and he fell down. If I would have got a tackle, if I would have got that sack the regular way,
that
ball, it would have changed the game. But, you know, I was still happy to get the sack. It was a big-time sack, but it probably would have won us the game because I'm sure he would have caught that ball up.
Man, Mr. Kirkland, I just want to tell you that you would be my hero if you would have done that.
I'm here to help.
So the only way he's going to do that now, Mario, is in the video game, okay? You can make that happen
in the video
game. I'm going to
make it happen every night now.
Hey, LeVon, how's player development? I see, you know, you're a coach now. So whenever these new rookies come in, like, what's the biggest thing that you're going to tell them first, or, you know, how do they approach the game? Because you got a lot of good guys coming in this year. So how do you do that?
Well, you try to speak to them in a relationship type of way. You try to get to know them, try to get to know what they're about. And I don't really believe in forcing information unless they want it, you know, because you can always lead a horse to water, but it doesn't mean they're going to drink it. So you just try to really, at first, you just try to talk to them. And you try to let them understand that you've been in that situation before. You know how it must feel. And that the thing they have to do is understand that, you know, it's a fresh start for you, and you have to earn, you have to really earn it again. No matter what you did in college, no matter how high you get drafted, you have to work on your craft, and you have to work on being a professional. It's just like a wedding day. You know, everybody's so happy about the wedding day. Draft is the same way. You can't wait for that wedding day, but, you know, the wedding day is just the beginning. You know, the next day, if you're married, it's the same thing with the NFL. You know, you got drafted, but now this is when the work comes in. And nobody cares about where you got drafted. Now can you do the work?
Exactly.
Right? Can you be a professional, and can you get it done day in and day out? So that's the thing you really try to talk to those guys about. Trying to, you know, being a professional, you know, coming to work every day is, you know, getting better. And, you know, if they get better every day, that's usually a plus. You know, I think with the free agents and the lower draft picks, there's more of an urgency to earn that spot because normally, you know, nothing's really guaranteed in the NFL. Even for the, you know, even for other draft picks, it's not. But for those guys, it's a sense of urgency. And you try to help them get as, you know, you try to help them get better as much as you possibly can. But I think everything starts with a relationship. Try to talk to them, try to see what they're all about, and go from there.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. I got to ask you because, you know, you are, you know, your boss is one of those coaches that is long tenured in the NFL. I mean, how is it going to be working for Marvin Lewis?
Well, you know, he actually was my first coach in the NFL. So we've had a relationship as far as coach and player is concerned. You know, I'm sure that it would be a good relationship and it would be a good deal for myself. You know, he personally called me and wanted me to be a part of the summer camp. So I feel like it's going to be a good, you know, good relationship. I feel like I'll learn a lot from him, and I would just try to absorb that and try to hold on to it. But it's going to be a good relationship. We had a good relationship while I was in Pittsburgh, while he was my coach. So I'm sure we both improved and we got, you know, we both mature. So in that instance, we're going to have fun.
That's,
we're going to try to teach these guys how to play.
That's awesome.
That's great stuff. Folks, once again, we are talking with LeVon Kirkland, outside linebacker coach for the Cincinnati Bengals. Of course, you remember him from the Pittsburgh Steelers from 1992 to 2000. But wait a minute. You also played for two other teams. You played for the Seahawks and the Eagles. Am I correct?
Yes, you're correct. Yeah.
Nice.
Played for those guys. It was just, you know, for being with Pittsburgh for as long as I was with Pittsburgh, it was actually good to go and play for another team just to really see how things are different teammates, different organizations, different cities. So I was glad I got the opportunity to play for those two teams. Although I only played with both those teams for 1 year before I retired, it was really good to get a different perspective.
So how do you feel? You know, the season's coming up. You know what division you're in, and you know who you're going to be facing twice. Well, at least once. You have to go up to that stadium in Pittsburgh. What kind of reception you think you're going to get up there when you go up there? Because they're going to see you. They're going to spot you. They know who you are.
Well, you know, actually, when I was with the Cardinals, we played Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh.
Ooh.
And I remember a fan that was sitting behind our bench was like, LeVon! I thought it was hilarious. So I'm like, hey, listen, man, I'm just coaching. You know, it's just a profession. You know, a part of me will always be with the Steelers. I mean, my heart is with the Steelers. I always want to see them do well, but in a situation where you're coaching, it's different. You know, it's a job. You're trying to get those W's. But I thought it was funny because I think the guy thought that it was like wrestling.
Oh my God!
I just turned my back on my tag team partner. It's not like that. It's just, you know, it's a job. You know, it's work, and I'm sure most people will, you know, they'll be okay with
that. That's a forgiving place. It is.
It's a good place, and you know, I think that I've always have a part of the Pittsburgh Steelers in me, and I think the fans know that I put in the work, and I gave it my all when I played
you
for
did.
Them.
Yes,
so
you did.
It's not like I just turned my back on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Absolutely. So I got to ask you this, too, because, and I want to kind of bring it home here to Houston. You played your college football in Clemson, and as you know, with the Heisman Trophy
winner, Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson is from Clemson, and he is with the Texans. So, what do you think about Mr. Watson?
You know, I'm really impressed with him. I was really impressed with him as his career at Clemson. You never know exactly how a guy is going to do until he does it or don't do it. But I really feel that this kid has something special about him. And I know that said a whole lot. But I look at the way he played. When Clemson always needed to drive or they needed to score, he always came through. The guy is intelligent. The guy has a lot of drive. The guy can play the game of football. I really see him as – I really think he's going to be successful.
That's good stuff.
Like I said, you don't know. You're not 100%, but with all the intangibles and with all the tangible abilities that he has, and, you know, just like anything, if you surround him with the right parts, he should be successful. I really believe that he will be, and I'm excited about what he's going to do in the NFL.
Hey, LaVon, since we're on the subject, let's talk about Clemson for a little bit. How do you like how Dabo Swinney has – pretty much changed everything that's going around there and pretty much turned into a national powerhouse? How do you feel about that?
Oh, it's tremendous. I mean, being an alumni and looking at it, and, you know, when I played at Clemson, we had a really good, you know, we had really good teams. I mean, the only thing with our teams was we always lost two games a year.
Okay.
And it's kind of frustrating that we always lose two games a year. And, you know, if you lost once, that was pretty much it for your national championship hopes. I think that Dabo, more than anything, has built a culture of love. It seems as though that the players, the coaching staff, everybody around the building love what they're doing. And I think he really is on the ground level as far as the players are concerned. And I feel that if you continue to make love your strategy, that you're going to be very successful. You're not going to win a national championship every year, but from being known as being, you know, Clemsoning, you know, when Clemson was kind of had a reputation of losing to teams that they shouldn't lose to being a legitimate powerhouse college football team and being a team that's consistent game in and game out. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. It's great to watch. You feel a part of it. So he's doing a tremendous job. I think he has the energy to continue to recruit very well. And, you know, that's the backbone of college football.
Right.
Recruiting great guys, great citizens, great students, and put them in a system where they can succeed. And I think you can sell Clemson now. I don't think it's just in the Southeast anymore. I think you can go across the United States and you can sell Clemson University. So, you know, it's a matter of just continuing to get the right guys and the right pieces, and I think they're
going to
be very successful.
Okay. Hey, LaVon, I tell you what, this has been a pleasure to have you on tonight. We're not going to keep you on any longer. We're going to let you enjoy your Sunday. But please tell us that we can get you back on here once the season starts. I know it might be tough because you're going to be coaching, but if we can, if you can make a little time for Sports Kings After Dark, we certainly would appreciate it.
Well, Oh, man, I really appreciate you guys bringing me on. Anytime you want to get in contact with me or have me on the show, I'll make time for you.
All right, we appreciate it. Hey, all right.
All right.
Folks, you. Now. Hey, thank you, LeVon.
Thank you so much, Coach.
You were listening to LeVon Kirkland, now the outside linebacker coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I know we're going to go to break, guys. When we come back, we're going to just break everything down that LeVon said, some interesting stuff about Clemson and, of course, the Cincinnati Bengals. Folks, you are listening to Sports Kings After Dark. Me, G, Mario, Chris, David, right here on SB Nation 1560.
This is Sports Kings After Dark on SB Nation 1560.
And on SBNation1560.com.
Presented by State Farm Insurance Houston. Live from the SB Nation 1560 studios, here's Mario, David, Chris, and Mean Gene.
All right, folks, once again, you're listening to Sports Kings After Dark right here on SB Nation 1560. Mean Gene, Mario, Chris, David. And I know these guys are a little pumped here because we kind of jumped into a little football here thanks to the great Pro Bowler, LeVon Kirkland. And I tell you what, so he gave Emmitt Smith credit for the sack against Troy Aikman.
Yeah, he gave him, he cut him.
Yeah.
He cut him.
I remember that too.
I remember the play. Yeah. I remember the play. That's what I'm saying.
He said if he would have got hold of
him, he would have knocked him into next week, period.
Oh, I know it, man. Number 99. I could just see that guy.
It was a freight train, man.
Yeah.
It was a freight train.
I can see that. Hey, so anyway. Very interesting because, you know, and we had kind of did our research, knew that he was with the Arizona Cardinals, wasn't really quite sure on that Cincinnati Bengals thing, mm-hmm. although we heard about it, but he just confirmed it. He is a outside linebacker coach. He's going all the way in the enemy's backyard with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but he gets to work for one of the best coaches out there. And as a matter of fact, I think Marvin Lewis and Mike Tomlin are probably the two most tenured. Well, Belichick
too.
The three most tenured coaches out there.
Coach Lamar, yeah.
And I mean, you know, Fisher got fired.
Yeah, Andy Reid's been around for a while now.
Well, I mean, just for its consistency, I'm talking about with one team.
Belichick,
Tomlin, and so he's been with Marvin Lewis.
Yeah.
You know what though? And all jokes aside here. Having him on that team now makes that defense that much better,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, it was another cool thing about how he said how he was even coaching, you know, at the, you know, Steelers whenever they're playing against the Cardinals. Ain't that messed up that you play for this team, you know, for a bulk of your season, then you got to go back home, and then you're the enemy pretty much.
Well, you heard what you said. Yeah. I mean, because fans will recognize you. I don't care.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They
will.
You don't have to have a jersey.
The diehards
on.
Will.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And for some fan to call him out.
Yeah, man. Because I remember the year when Johnny Damon, when he came over from the Yankees. You know, he came over from Boston Damon. To the Yankees.
Yeah, yeah.
I was in Boston when we went to go play against them, and they were just laying into him.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, though. I mean, you know, with the Clemson, you know, and Deshaun. I had to get Watson in there because I know those alumni guys, they follow everything.
That's right.
He brought in a really good point about how Dabo Sweeney and bringing that culture and how whenever you have love into the ingredient of what you're doing, I mean, it means a lot. And honestly, that does mean a lot because some of these coaches, they can't be an actual real person to some of these kids. Some of these guys don't have good relationships with their coaches. But for Dabo to do what he's doing over there, and yeah, you're making Clemson a big name, and you don't have to, you know, just recruit around South Carolina, North Carolina anymore. You can go all south and go all over the country,
right? Because now they have that reputation. Now they're getting those players. You know what I mean? They're getting them top tier. Those 1A,
because he was a guy that was he grew up in South Carolina, so he didn't leave state.
Nope.
You know, so like you said, yeah, they're starting to bring people. And I tell you what, it's going to be great having him in. We had to sneak that in there, guys, because football season's coming up. We're just teasing you a little bit. You know, we're just teasing.
Giving you a little bait on the line.
Because he's going to be pretty busy here in a couple of weeks working with these linebackers. And I know they got some great ones there in Cincinnati. So, LeVon Kirkland on Sports Kings After Dark. So, now we're going to shift gears back to where we were earlier in the show. I mean, the Major League Baseball is trying to steal. This is their time, guys, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. It's almost the time, as they say, the midpoint of the season. In case you didn't know, they play 162 games. Am I right?
Still the longest. So still one of the longest seasons in professional leagues. Yeah,
almost near the middle of the break for Major League Baseball, and that is why we are going to get into the Major League Baseball All-Star starters was released today, and we got to start with the hometown boys. We've been trying to get you guys to vote for the longest, and I guess you went out there and did it, huh?
Dave? Oh yeah, they did turn out. Because, I mean, we got three guys, you know, starting.
Three?
That's pretty good. Jose Altuve, Carlos Correa.
And Springer out there in the outfield with who? My boy.
We're not going to talk about your boy.
You found an excuse to add Aaron Judge.
We're not going to talk about the Yankees right now. Damn the Yankees. We're going to talk about the Astros right
nice
now.
Try.
Oh, wait a minute. We can talk about the whipping that was placed on that team.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
In the rubber match.
We can talk about that.
Okay. But now let's go back and talk about this. This is a great moment for the city
of Houston.
Mm-hmm. You got three guys. Five total with the pitchers, total, right?
Yeah. Yep.
But this is great stuff.
It's just a great week for Houston all around. We got so many all-stars representing our team. We have Chris Paul coming over to the Rockets. You know, it's just it just seems to be a good time right now in Rocket Nation.
It's the aura of winning right now, and that's what I like. It's the aura of just feeling good about the team because, of course, the Rockets didn't really end the way they're supposed to be. But still, I mean, I think everyone's feeling really good about the city as of right now.
You got to love where we're at right now.
And I mean, of course, you know, Jose Altuve, this is his fifth one. So, I mean, he's no stranger to these All-Star games. But how about this, man? Carlos Correa, his first All-Star start.
That's
and
right.
George Springer.
Boricua power.
This is good stuff here. Great stuff.
You know what? You think they're going to show out, though? Like, I mean, because, I mean, we have a lot of guys in the All-Star game, so you think we're really going to make our imprint on the game?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, and we were talking off the air, guys, about, you know, I mean, I guess I'm saying this is one year I don't really like that whoever wins the All-Star game gets to have home field advantage.
Uh-huh.
I mean, but now that they've, you know, announced some of the starters from Houston that's in there.
You don't, seems pretty good,
I like the American League changes.
Oh, yeah.
Chances now.
Oh, yeah. It seems pretty good now.
I like that. Well, even though, oh, man, do I have to say this? If Mario can admit that he's a Yankees fan, I do like the Dodgers, but that's in another. That's in
another day.
That's another league, though. Right now, so I can say that my American League team is the Houston Astros.
I can say that. That's absolutely fine.
So what kind of pitchers we got? Who made that?
Oh, in the American League, we got Chris Sales, Dallas Keuchel, Irvin Santana, Jason Vargas. I mean, there's a lot of heaters on this side. A
lot of hurlers on there.
I mean, I just got to make sure we have a chance to host that, you know, the World Series. I mean, the home field advantage. Which I mean, even Yu Darvish is good. I mean, there are some heavy hitters.
Yu Darvish is amazing, dude. He's definitely up there, maybe top 15 pitchers in the league. Easy.
And even Lance McCullers Jr.
Lance McCullers Jr. holds his own. Yeah.
So, and this is his first All-Star game. And of course, I thought we had another pitcher in there. Okay, so this makes his second.
Is he playing?
So
I was confused about if he was coming back from the disabled list. If I'm not mistaken.
I don't know. I mean,
and you know what?
Because you're named, that doesn't mean that you
gotta
play.
Yeah, that's right. You can be named to the starters. Right. That doesn't mean you're gonna play. And they're gonna have an alternate take your spot.
Okay, so all right, go ahead. So Mr. Judge.
All right, okay. Mr. Judge.
Mr. All 6'8", 282 pounds of him.
Man, that's a mammoth man right
That's quite impressive.
That's a big
You know, he played basketball too.
Yeah, he did. Actually, I heard he was pretty good.
Settled in to baseball, which I'm sure the Yankees don't have no problems with that.
No. Nope.
Great stuff. So what about the National League? What's going on over there?
Oh, let's see. First baseman Ryan Zimmerman.
I love Ryan Zimmerman. You know what I mean? He's a great story. You know, two-way player, could give you the defense, but gives you the offense you need as well, which is really rare for that position at first base. It's either give or take. Either, you know, you get a good defensive first baseman or you get an offensive first baseman. He fills that role for them. You know, the last two seasons he hasn't done well. This has been one of his greatest seasons. He's coming out. He's the elder statesman at 32.
You're talking about Zimmerman?
Zimmerman, you know what I mean? He's the elder statesman. That's crazy. 32 years old, but you're the elder statesman in the club.
His second one, and he'll be right there with his teammate,
exactly.
Too, Bryce Harper.
Kudos to him. I'm so happy for Ryan Zimmerman, man. He's a great guy.
As a matter of fact, Bryce Harper and Aaron Judge, they just killed it in the votes. Nearly 9 million votes between the both of them. Just crazy stuff there. but also Buster Posey, who always
that's the captain, bro.
Just shows up.
That's the captain, man. That's the captain. Right?
Finds a way to get in there. Charlie Blackman with the center fielder for the Colorado Rockies, and Daniel Murphy. You know what? The Nationals got a lot of guys in there, too.
They're good, man. They're good. The Nationals are a good team. They're there every year. But, you know, the Nationals are starting to become like the Yankees. You don't talk about them until you get to the playoffs because that's where they seem to fall apart. You know what I mean? During the regular season, they have amazing regular seasons. 40-something wins, 50-something wins, 60-something wins.
Yeah.
They look great. They get to the playoffs.
Same thing with the Dodgers.
They fall apart. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Same thing. So now, and the Rockies got quite a few guys. But what about Marcell Ozuna, though? Did he get in just because the game was played in Miami? Is that you got to have a homer in there?
You got to have the one guy to represent the whole team.
Just like the NBA All-Star, whoever, whatever city hosts.
Yeah.
You got to have
one. You got to have whatever represented.
Yeah. So he gets in there because he didn't get a lot of votes. But he's
in there, though.
He's somehow starting. Hey. As a matter of fact, he got less votes than anybody in this doggone thing.
I tell you what, he's going to get that pay bump now that he's an All-Star.
Great stuff. So anyway, this game's going to take place next Tuesday. And this is just that time of the year, folks, where baseball's winding down a little bit. And this is that midsummer classic that everybody's always looking forward to.
And also, I mean, then we have the home run derby as well.
Yeah.
Soon.
Can't wait for that.
So is Judge going to be in it, though? Because I feel like he's kind of playing with us.
No. He has to be in it. He doesn't have to be in it, but.
No, he kind of has to be in
it. He has to because he's a Yank. He's the only, you know what I mean? You got to represent the organization, period. You know what I mean? This is what we do. This is what the Yankees. We're called the Bronx Bombers for a reason, all right? Because we drop bombs on them.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
You guys dropped a different kind of bomb today, though.
It's all right, though. It's all right, because all I got to say is, how many championships Houston has?
It doesn't matter. We're living in the now.
There we go.
Mario.
That's it.
We can't live. I mean, I understand the Yankees have won. How many World Series?
27.
But how many of us was alive for, like, maybe, you know?
You had nothing to do with that, with those 27.
I've been around five.
And I can only account for maybe, you know, seven or eight of them.
Only?
Well, five.
You know,
five out of 27. You're not even there for like.
You wasn't born in
10%.
20s and 30s and 40s.
I was in the city. I was there when fights were breaking out on the balls between Red Sox and Yankee fans. It was amazing.
Man,
it was a great time.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. But no, this kid is a stud, though. So I have to. What the heck happened there?
He RKO'd him out of nowhere.
That's a wrestling move right there,
man.
Chris,
are you watching this?
What is that? Look, he got the count.
He pinned him. Wow.
Yeah, I've been wondering what's been going on like for the past 30 minutes because they're doing random stuff.
No one knows what's going on right now. So we're watching the TV that's showing lacrosse. And these lacrosse
is that
players.
Part of lacrosse?
No, last time I checked.
So what the heck was that?
I don't know.
I'm surprised Chris is not knocking down his glass trying to get tickets to that event right here. Huh?
Nah, I'm gonna stay in Houston.
Well, I feel that if more sports like just implemented some wrestling moves, wouldn't it be a lot more fun?
I think it'd be interesting. Like
how Robin Lopez always wants to mess with the mascot.
Love it.
Oh, like, that's the best right there.
That's the best one right there.
I think that's why you bring him to your team.
Stone Cold! Stone Cold!
He brings that entertainment to your team.
Was he at the game? Was he at this?
No, he wasn't.
So, I told you guys last night that I wanted to watch Power. And the only reason why I didn't watch Power, because I was going to sit here in the studio and watch Power. The only reason why I didn't is because LeVon Kirkland came on. There's just no way I could. I didn't want you guys telling LeVon.
What is your usual?
He would have been asking, where's Mean Gene? He's somewhere in the corner watching Power.
Well, how do you usually, like, what's your setup whenever you're about to watch Power? Because I know you probably had to, like, get in a certain mode. You probably
tell everybody, don't call me. I don't answer my phone. It's just.
Turn off the lights.
It's just, no, don't get like that. It's just one of those, first of all, I had missed, like, two seasons of it. Mm. I had to go. And you know how you get on demand?
I think I watched
like 10 hours of Power.
Oh my goodness!
Did you know you hooked after that?
Did you think you were one of the characters? Did you start talking like them? You know what I mean?
I did that with the Sopranos.
How you doing?
You know.
Hey, what's the gabagoo?
But no. So I get to watch it when I get home.
Okay.
And I will watch it because you wait for a series. And it comes on. You know you don't want to miss anything.
I like it when they come.
Yes, sir.
About to say.
What? Yeah, I'm sorry, but what is gabagool?
I think that's a food. Gabagool.
Where'd that come from?
I mean, because it's Jersey, and Mario's from Jersey. Ooh,
I am not from Jersey, sir.
sound like
I am not from Jersey. I'm from New York. They think they Jersey.
Hey,
they
guys,
think they New York.
I think we should try to go out and eat somewhere in Houston without Mario. I think Mario's the reason why we're getting poor service lately.
Yeah, it really is.
I don't
you
even
think
talk
so?
To people. Today? I'm the one
I
helping y'all get the
two
service.
2 days in a row, we got poor service. And I think it's Mario. Yeah, I think it's the way he talks to people.
I think you give off a vibe, dude.
I think I give a vibe. Because I'm a pretty nice
how
guy.
How many yous are back there cooking?
How many yous? How many yous are back there?
But also,
I don't
like,
know. It's just 2 days in a row. It's really bad.
Hey,
David couldn't even sit with us. I mean, we
oh yeah,
we
I
came
can't
in there.
With
oh,
we came in there as a group of
that's
four.
I'll take that.
Yeah, I'll take that.
A table of one. Okay. Anyway, folks. Hey, you listen to Sports Kings After Dark. We just getting started, folks. So stick around. When we come back, we're gonna get more into some NBA free signings right here on SB Nation 1560 AM.
Not all four of us gonna fit in the booth.
You're listening to Sports Kings After Dark on SB Nation 1560.
And on SBNation1560.com.
Presented by End Zone Sports Bar. Live from the SB Nation 1560 studios, here's Mario, David, Chris, and Mean Gene.
This sounds like some disco. No? What is
inspiration.
This?
Disco.
Inspiration? Okay. I'm inspired. Okay.
It does. Napoleon Dynamite, like, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it's from that like movie, but no, that's not what
it's like. This is a skating rink song. Like, it sounds like that. All right, folks. Sports Kings After Dark, final segment, first hour. Mean Gene, Chris Tamez, our producer, makes this show roll, rock and roll. And Mario and Dave. Hey, guys. You know, when I thought we just pretty much have to come to agreement that the NBA won't be over for another week or two. Going to be – my phone went off again today several times. And I know which one of you guys got the latest NBA free agent activity of the day.
Well, whenever we were doing our interview, that's when I found out about Paul Millsap. So, and then for it to actually come on breaking in front of us in front of the TV. So, I mean, that's pretty interesting. But Millsap going to Denver for 3 years, $90 million. I see that he chased the money. He's trying to get paid. I totally understand. But to me, he's coming to the Western Conference and wasting his time.
I don't know.
Really?
Well, I mean, but Denver has not been relevant for a while. And I know, yeah, he's chasing. So, I don't know. Going to Denver is not chasing a ring. It's chasing, you said chasing money?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's all about the money.
Yeah, so it's
anytime
around almost
you see.
Million.
Yeah, you see one player that just goes on the team and he's the best player on that team with no other surroundings, then no.
They got a couple guys over there. I'm not saying they're a bad team, but then you're already coming to the Western Conference, which is already loaded with so many teams as of now. Just to break the top eight is going to be a really hard thing to do in the West. Because, I mean, we're looking at all these teams that are loading up into the so-called super teams. Mm-hmm. And there's just four or five guys, five teams alone that's going to fill up these spots. That's really up to, like, maybe two or three spots in the Western Conference that are up for grabs.
If that.
If that.
I don't know. You said, how much was that contract, 80?
Well, it was $90 million $90
million? Dollars? Yep.
And also, we got Taj Gibson going to the Timberwolves.
Going
and
to another piece added, Tom Thibodeau. Bring the band back together.
Well, that's, you know, Thibodeau, he was wronged in Chicago, and I'm, you know, just thrilled to see that he's given another opportunity in Minnesota. The guy's good. One of the few coaches out there that coaches defense.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what he was known for with those Bulls teams, and I think that's what he's going to be known for with I mean, just getting touched. The only person
look
missing now is Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
You get Rose there, and you got the Bulls in Minnesota.
Basically, that's right? Really what you have.
This was once a very young team with not too much experience, but now all of a sudden it became a very lead-driven team. Now you got Jimmy Butler and Taj Gibson now, and also Jeff Teague, who also adds some years to the NBA. So now this becomes a team with experience now. This is a whole different team from last year. All of a sudden they're competing now. There's almost no reason for them to say that they won't at least compete for a second round.
And so Well, I don't know. I didn't know what direction they was going in when they got rid of Zach LaVine, right? So
yeah.
So that kind of made it threw me off a little bit. But getting Taj Gibson back, I mean, because he didn't do – it just seemed like he didn't want to be in Oklahoma City, you could tell. I didn't see anything.
Nothing came out of that. I mean, yeah, you're with Russell Westbrook. You're on a pretty decent team. But honestly,
and Westbrook and –
Even with the team right now, I don't question OKC as of right now, but I know they can make it work. But you also got to understand what direction are they going in? Because, yeah, you got Paul George, you know, coming for a year, you know, at most. And also, what are you doing to keep Russell Westbrook there?
That's another question.
And also, what are y'all style of play y'all going to have? Because I still think that they're further along. Well, I'll just say that Harden and Chris Paul are way more closer and further along than what Paul George and Russell Westbrook are.
Agreed.
Okay.
Yeah, look, right? Yeah, they seem like they'll mesh together way quicker than they would.
So let's just kind of see where we are because, you started off with the Millsap goes to Denver, 3-year, $90 million contract. Yeah. Then Ben McLemore leaves Sacramento. He goes to Memphis, 2-year, $10 million contract.
He's always been a guy that's always been capable of playing, but never has really got it together.
Yeah, right. But
when
I think
he was at Kansas, he was an absolute monster.
He was pretty good, and I saw some good signs of that team when he played with Boogie, right? I mean, that it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, I mean, he was a rocket for a hot second as well, and he looked like a guy who can possibly fit our mold, but, I mean, of course, it really didn't happen that way.
We're getting down to this one I want to talk about, and Justin Holiday goes to the Bulls. 2-year, $9 million. No, the one we got. Who?
Otto Porter.
The one. Not even that one. Well, not that one too. Kyle Lowry goes. He stays with Toronto. 3-year, $100 million. Kyle Korver. I think we covered that one last night. Yeah, let's talk about. And we did talk about Serge Ibaka, right? You brought up PJ Tucker here in Houston, 4-year, $32 million. The one, yes, the auto. What is that all about?
I can't believe this. Check this out. The rain is 4 years and approximately 100
Who
million.
Is it? Who Otto is the
Porter.
Guy?
He played for. He plays for Washington.
Yeah, he went to Georgetown. He's actually a Georgetown guy. So, I mean, he's been in the area for a long time, and he's been putting in work for Washington, no lie. But you can't say that 100? He deserves all that money.
How much did he get? 100 million?
100 mil. 4 years, 100 mil.
And overpaid. Is he a starter?
No. Well, he is a starter, yes, for the Wizards, but I wouldn't say he's putting up that many offensive numbers just to be getting that much.
No, in 2016, 2017, he averaged 13.4 points and 6.4 rebounds per game while shooting 51.6%.
He is a hustler. I give him that. He's a long, lanky guy. He can play defense, and he can shoot the occasional shots, but he's not a guy that you should be tossing $20 million into.
Well, I think the one that we overlooked, guys, because we got caught up in so much that was happening in the NBA – there's one that we overlook, and because of the amount of the salary, $23 million, don't sound like a whole lot because we automatically assuming that it's 1, 2, 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, it's 1 year. J.J. Redick,
$23
million one season.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And also, that has a lot to do because 76ers have so much cap space right now.
They got a lot of rookies.
Yeah, they have a lot of rookies, and they got to spend some money. So, like we were saying yesterday, they actually have to use that money.
The J.J. Redick,
and you know what? And
$23 million.
But this kind of works out for him because he can, you know, I guess leave his mark on this team. He can kind of make them grow up a little bit. You know, they have, you know, this guy who's been a veteran player for a while, and also he gets a payday. So, I mean, he's kind of like a really expensive babysitter almost because he's going to have to look out for these guys.
You know, he shoots the ball well. You know, he has a fabulous mid-range game, moves well without the ball. You know, and he's a hard worker. You know what I mean? And he gives you everything he got every time he plays. You know, he's improved so much from when he came out of Duke. You know, he's just a really good player.
He honestly didn't look like an NBA player coming out of Duke whenever he was at Orlando.
No, when he came out, I agree. When he came out, you know, he looked more like a zone buster. You know what I mean? Leave him open in space. He's going to knock down the J, but that's probably all you were going to get out of him. But he's really developed his game right now. He can come off the dribble. He can take it to the rack as well as shoot the three in the mid-range game. So that's definitely a good piece and a good pickup of Philly.
Guys, you know, if you put Chris Paul's salary and you put Blake Griffin, it's $173 million. You go Drew Holiday, the $126 million. There are like seven players that are worth $1 billion. $1 billion. $200.
Well, think about it. Steph Curry's making what, $200
million? Yeah, I mean, he's getting $200. Well, Steph Curry and Blake Griffin, both of them together, is almost $400 million.
I feel like that's back pay.
That's two players.
For all the work they've been doing,
man,
for right now.
Because they held that team up for a long time. That is true.
I'm concerned about a Blake Griffin because you don't get 81 games with Blake Griffin.
And also, you don't get the game that you kind of want from a four as of right now.
In this
league, he's going to give you the things that he can. He's going to, you know, bust his ass for you. He's going to score, you know, maybe close to 20, but still, he's not going to be that stretch guy that make those threes and make those long points happen.
Agreed.
I mean, it's, hey, if you ever, you know, folks listening out there, you got a kid that's sitting around beating that basketball and bouncing it and stuff, tell him to keep doing it because who knows what salaries are going to be like in the next 10, 15 years.
I'm pretty sure a lot of these guys, and of course we heard it first from, you know, NFL especially, but imagine these guys used to play basketball but 10 years ago.
Some of these guys didn't make this kind of money in 20 years.
Yeah.
You think Kareem? Maybe, well, Kareem probably got a little bit on the end of, but did he even get the whole $200 million in the whole time he played?
Oh, no. Probably not even 20.
Not for playing,
million.
Maybe from endorsements.
Yeah.
But not for you know, being paid to play, no.
Oh, yeah. It had to be probably less than 15, 20.
Steph Curry's going to get $201 for 5 years. It's just unbelievable.
But like
money.
I said, I think this is definitely back pay. And this is not something that he deserves in the future.
But this is why the guys, the older guys in the league, even the ones that are out, you know, you got the ambassadors, the guys that used to play back in the day. They, you know, this is why these younger guys have to kind of respect those guys because, man, they made it all
paved
possible.
Away.
Yeah, man.
They, you know, the Bill Russells and the Oscar Robinsons and all of these guys, man, they really made the way for some of these guys. And the Paul George, we have to, you know, when we come back, we're going to, I know we're coming up on a break here. We're going to have to justify how the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals.
And we also
I don't see it right now.
No. They're getting older.
Yeah.
And that's not, as of right now, that's something that you cannot do.
I don't know what signing Corver does because he didn't give you anything last year.
At all.
You know, he didn't give you anything
last year. Didn't give you any defense.
He didn't give you no defense, and he wasn't knocking on the shot when
he needed
it. He's
not going to give
you that. So I really don't know what was that move
for. We also got to talk about these Rockets segment as well because there's a lot of interesting things when I look at the roster that have to change before, you know, free agency is over, before the season starts up. There's definitely some things that we do have to address in the roster.
And in the next hour, folks, we'll be talking about the big three. I know. White chocolate. Don't. I know you probably don't know the scores, but they did play today.
Yeah.
All right, and we've kind of held to secrecy, too, here. Can't really tell you what happened. We know what happened. We can't tell you what happened. But you'll be able to see the big three tomorrow on Fox Sports. But we just can't really tell you about it. So anyway, we need you to stick around because we got another hour to go here on Sports Kings After Dark with Mean Gene, Dave, Mario, and Chris DeMers here on 1560 AM.